Brothers and sisters, it's a fair question for you to ask. Father Schuster, how did Elijah end up at Mount Horeb, first reading of today? I'll explain that to you. You know, Elijah lived about 850 years before Jesus Christ. The king at that time of Israel was a man named Ahaz. Ahaz's wife was Jezebel, and in reality, it was Jezebel who was really the power behind all things. And Jezebel, everyone, had this strong worship of Baal, the god Baal. And of course, Elijah being about our God, the Almighty God, God the Father, everyone, that's who he worshiped. Well, you realize with time, you know, Elijah and Jezebel, they go back and forth. Something was going to happen, and finally it did. Elijah said, okay, let's get together, figure this out. You get a sacrifice ready, I'll get a sacrifice ready. Whichever God consumes a sacrifice, we'll call that the God. Well, of course, as you know, everyone, the 850 prophets of Baal begin, everyone. They're jumping around, everyone, dancing, cutting themselves. It's kind of a bloody scene. Nothing. Elijah finally takes over and says, he simply says, you know, God, our Father, please hear me. Poof. God consumes it. And Elijah, everyone, you know, in his true love of God, sets out, and what does he do, everyone? He puts the other 850 prophets of Baal to death. Okay, now, what do you think Jezebel thought about that? How do you think she thought of that? These were her prophets, not very happy. Threatened Elijah, if I catch you, I'm going to kill you. So Elijah, everyone, he retreats. Where does he end up? Mount Horeb. And God speaks to him. Not in fire, not in an earthquake, not in a strong wind, but in this. A tiny whispering sound. A tiny whispering sound. What a twist in the gospel. A remarkable twist that we hear in the gospel of today from that very story. You know, everyone, when I was growing up in the 80s, I remember this show. For some reason, it came back to me when I was writing this homily called That's Incredible. Okay, it was hosted by one of our Minnesota Viking legends by the name of Fran Tarkenton. Okay, and he used to have different segments on different things, but it basically touched about, you know, on the unusual side of nature, medicine, and human endeavors. Okay, segments would range from the uplifting, how people took handicaps, everyone, and they lifted themselves up, and they made really good out of it, to the ridiculous. I remember there was this one where there were three helicopters, the rotors were going, and the stunt man decided to jump all three of them, to the unexplainable. One man, everyone, struck by lightning 7 times. Of course, everyone, with the caption of the helicopter and so many of these things, there was the caption that said, don't try this at home. But at the end of every single segment, guess what people said? That's incredible. That's incredible. People, we live in the Northern Hemisphere. Do you realize that 1/3 of the year we can actually do what Jesus did? We can actually walk on water. Okay? We actually can. See, yes, it's called ice, but it is a form of, you know, it's a form of water. It's intriguing. You take someone from the Southern Hemisphere and you take them out on a lake, you know, and they're walking on the lake and you explain, you know, something, this is frozen water. They're just mesmerized by that. Now, you take them out in a vehicle on it and explain to it driving on it that, do you realize 2/3 of the year this is actually open water? They get ferried. They're afraid, everyone, that they're going to drown. They're afraid that they're going to fall through. It's always fascinating, everyone, whenever I drive onto a lake, you know, you run your GPS to figure out where you're at. But just as soon as you leave the access onto the lake, you know what there is? There's nothing. There's no road. There is no voice that tells you in 1,000 feet, turn to the right or left. Big enough basin of water, everyone, and actually your GPS system goes completely blank. There is absolutely nothing. Fascinating how that works. Now, at one point in the history of humanity, someone had to say, I'm going to walk on that. We would have said, you're crazy. Maybe some didn't so succeed, But somebody finally did. And then someone came along and got this ingenious idea, you know what? I'm going to drive on it. And what would you have said? You would have said, you're crazy. Only as you drove across it and people were driving across it, you'd sit there and you'd have to say, that is incredible. Incredible. You know, everyone, we go from that tiny whispering sound now all of a sudden to a raging sea. There's something unique about this miracle, by the way, everyone, and here it is. When you hear the story of miracles, usually it's Jesus doing something for someone. Whether it be someone who's hungry, somebody who's sick, someone who's evil, someone who has, you know, a spirit, you know, some type of possession. But this one here, there's none of that. Jesus does this to show really who he is. People, I fish, I hunt, I've been on water more than you could ever imagine. And in all the times I've ever been on water, there have only been two times that I've been scared. I'll tell you one of them today. My brother and I were up on Leech Lake, huge basin of water, huge. Okay, one of those that when you drive out on it, everyone, it's so big that you would see nothing on your GPS, okay? Nothing. All right? We went out. It was rough when we went out, but we got out on the big basin, everyone, large area of water out there, and the wind picked up. It got to be so tall, everyone, that you couldn't actually see in your seat actually over the waves, okay? So there you are. Now imagine my brother and I. There we are in our boat, everyone. Wave picks us up. Okay? And then it drops us down. Picks us up, drops us down. Now, imagine everyone, if that was you and me, there we were, everyone, up we went, and all of a sudden we saw something out in the distance. You drop down, you say, did I see what I see? Up you come, and you see it again, and it's getting closer. You drop down, and all of a sudden you realize that's a person. That's a human being coming to me. What would your reaction be? Scared to death. As a disciple, I get it. And what I always find fascinating about this story, everyone, is this. Not the words of Jesus, don't be afraid, have courage. Instead, it is I. Now, we shouldn't have been out there probably in the first place, but everywhere. And imagine all of a sudden, if Jesus came up to us and said those words, he doesn't say, it is Jesus, it is I. What's he saying? It's this. This isn't Napoleon. It's not Caesar Augustus. It's not Benjamin Franklin. He doesn't have to say that. The reality is this. There's only one person who can do this. He's fully human and fully divine. It is I. It is Jesus Christ. There's no competition here. He doesn't have to say it's Jesus because no one else can do this. Now, a word about Peter. Peter was like me, everyone. He was a fisherman, spent a lot of time on water. You know, he knew what was going on here. Now, imagine what his mind, his logic was telling him as he wanted to take a step over the hull of that boat and walk on that water. His mind was telling him everything, everything, everything within its knowledge, its power to say, Peter, do you do that? You know something, you're in trouble. And what did Peter have to do, everyone? He had to somehow resist that logic. He had to resist that mind, and he had to have the courage to step off that hull onto that water. And you ask yourself, why did Jesus do it? This is why. He wanted to be with Jesus. And you know something? That's what I pray for us today. We want the same. I want to be with Jesus. Now to do that, it does take courage. It does take faith. So pray for that courage today. Pray for that faith, everyone. As we gather today and we hear it said, it is I, you are in the midst of Jesus Christ.